Again, if you'll turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 8, we will continue our thoughts there. In our first thought, or in our first service, we noticed there that we have some qualifications that Jesus has given unto us in regards to that of being a true disciple. We discussed there in some detail the idea of letting us, that we should deny ourselves. I want us to continue on with that thought and going into it a little deeper and noticing there that Jesus also said there that denying self is not enough, but you also need to take up your cross. And I want us to consider, if you will, the thoughts that are given by that. Whenever we think about taking up our cross, Jesus here was simply saying there is responsibility. Responsibility is a key to living a Christian life. When we take on the name Christian, we are also accepting the responsibilities that come by living a life that is righteous, living a life that is acceptable to God, living a life that is according to His will and not mine. I've got to be willing to accept that responsibility, which means that I have to have full commitment to God and His will. That plays a very crucial part in my being faithful and acceptable unto God. I want us to think, if you will, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We find there that Paul says, if anyone is a new creature, he says, old things are passed away. And notice there he says, all things have become new. Paul here is simply saying that we must be willing to give up the old way of life. We find in Romans chapter 6, he gives a similar thought there of that very same thing. That as we are living in the old man of sin, we are living a sinful life, we are living that of the world, we're not committed to God in any way, but we are committed to self and our own self-will. We find that when we decide within our heart that I need to change my life, I need to obey God, and in His commandments I obey the gospel, that the old man of sin, according to what Romans 6 says, the old man of sin is put to death, just as Christ died on the cross. And then whenever I arise out of that watery grave of baptism, I arise to walk in newness of life. This is a resurrection of life, similar to that of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to recognize that that means putting off all old things. There are some, and even the Jewish nation had problems in the beginning whenever it came time for when Christ was trying to address them with the what was coming. And whenever the apostles taught them things that were different from what they had been taught all their lives, they had difficulties making that changeover, making the switch from Judaism to that of Christianity. We need to recognize that there needs to be a full and complete severance of our old way of life. We no longer look at life the way we used to. We no longer look at our own self-will, but we look at what God wills. And this is the responsibility that we have. We need to recognize that God has a job for us, a service, you might say, in His kingdom. In Colossians chapter 3, we kind of see a little bit more of what I'm trying to say here, and beginning in verse 5. And notice what Paul here says to these Christians here. He says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. And he goes on to describe a little bit of what he means by that. He says there that we need to put to death fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, he says. Because he says, of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. These are the things we need to put away. He says, in which you yourselves, talking to those Christians there, he says, you yourselves, you once were involved in these things. But, he says, now you yourselves are to put off all these also. You know, this morning in the class, We talked about violence. We talked about anger. And notice here, he says here, put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. He says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off, and notice here, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Again, Paul is making them recognize that there was this change that you made when you obeyed the gospel. You put the old man of sin away, and here you need to put these things away. These Christians, they were making progress. They had put off some things. They had no longer were involved in some of the evils that they were involved in before. But it was obvious here that Paul recognized that there were some things that still needed to be done away with in their lives. They had not completely severed from the old man of sin. And that's why he brought this out. And he goes on to say there that you have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We are renewed. How are we renewed? He says, by the knowledge of the Word of God. It's like, you know, whenever our computers become, they get viruses in them and they get all bound up with all kinds of garbage and things that get filled up in them. And every once in a while you have to go and you got to wipe it out. And then you've got to reset it and set it to the defaults and everything and kind of basically put everything in fresh. That's what God wants us to do in our lives. We need to just cleanse ourselves of all the evils of our lives, and then being refreshed through the knowledge of God's Word, we can be the kind of disciples that God wants us to be. How can I fulfill the responsibilities of a Christian when I'm still involved in the evils of this world? We notice there, he says there, in verse 12, he says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, he gives us a few things to think about here when he says, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do, he says. And above all these things, he says, put on love, which is that bond of perfection. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Our demonstration of our love to God cannot be said any more clear than that. Obeying the commandments of God. Being responsible and serving Him and obeying every command that He gives. We notice there, He goes on to say there, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And notice in verse 17 what he says. He says, whatever you do in word or deed, no matter what it is, whatever speech comes out of your mouth, whatever actions that you're involved in, whatever it is, he says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That is a responsibility that we have. And this is very characteristic of the duties of a true disciple of Jesus Christ. If you turn your Bibles over to 1 Peter chapter 2, and notice there again, I want us to look at verse 9 beginning there. And here's how we are described once we've obeyed the gospel as children of God. He says here, you are a chosen generation. We have been chosen out of this world. God has separated us from this world. Through what? Through our obedience to His gospel. And he says, not only are we a chosen generation, but he says that we are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation, he says. His own special people that you may, now here's the responsibility, by being a chosen generation, by being a royal priesthood, just like the priests of the Old Testament, they had their responsibilities. We as priests today, we are a royal priesthood. We have responsibilities. He says that we need to be proclaiming the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people. Notice there, at one time we were not a people. We had no hope. We had nothing. He says, but now you are a people of God who had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. Through what? Through obedience to God, through the precious blood that his Son shed upon that cross. We need to recognize these responsibilities and accept them and follow through with what God wants me to do in order that I might be a true disciple. And then we find, too, that we find the characteristic that Jesus gives there, and the thought being of follow me. Follow me. As I put here, a disciple is a child of God who's been baptized into Christ. Sometimes we kind of fail to note that one part about that idea there of being baptized into Christ. Notice with me in Romans. Now, I've mentioned it earlier in my lesson here, but turn your Bibles back over to Romans now, and let's just look at it just for a brief moment in Romans chapter 6 and beginning in verse 3. Now, in verses 1 through 3, we find here again that we no longer can live the old way of life, because the question is brought forth, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Is it possible that we can remain in that old state of sin, the old man of sin, and then God's grace abound unto us? Well, notice what Paul says there in verse 2. He says, well, certainly not. He says, how shall we who died to sin, see again, putting away that old man of sin, how can we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were, and notice here, who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? And he goes a little further and explains it. He says, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The like figure, Christ was nailed to that cross and died on that cross. He was carried and put away in a tomb, buried in the earth. And then 3 days later, He arose victorious over death. We too, we take the old man of sin. We walk into that watery grave of baptism in full belief of our faith, in full repentance, in full confession of His name that He is the Son of God. We walk into that watery grave of sin, of baptism in sin. And we are baptized. We are buried. Just as Christ was buried, and then we arise to walk in newness of life. There and at that point is where that new man becomes alive. There is where all things that were past will be done away with. And we are to live our lives according to God's will from that day forward. As it says there, we have been united together in the likeness of His death. And it says, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. We need to see here exactly what he means by following me. We no longer follow the pathway of sin. There is a direction that leads to sin. But see, as a child of God, we no longer follow that pathway. We follow the pathway that has been set forth by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he has given us the instructions here. If you notice here, and I want us to look in some few other passages of Scripture here, I want us to look at Jeremiah chapter 10. In that particular passage there, we find the prophet here, Jeremiah, saying, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself." Now think about that. Jeremiah is simply saying that we cannot of our own selves, we cannot direct our paths. We just can't do it. And that's why Jeremiah goes on there and he says, "It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." So he pleads to God and he says, "O Lord, correct me. Correct our directions. Correct my thoughts. Correct my being. Give me the right direction." That's what Jeremiah is pleading for here, that he might be put on the right path. In John 14, we find there that Jesus clarifies this a little bit better. We find here in John 14, and notice verse 1 through 6 there. Here Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house," he says, "are many mansions. And if it were not so," he said, "I would have told you, but I go and I prepare a place for you." The comfort of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was trying to comfort them. Now he's about to depart from them. He's trying to prepare them. But he's also letting them know that I'm going somewhere. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then notice what he says there. "And if I go and prepare a place for you," he says, "I'm going to come again." See, he says, "I'm going to return." That's a comforting thought to each and every one of us. Knowing that our Lord and Savior is in heaven, he's ruling over his kingdom. But it is a comforting thing to know that through all the trials and the tribulations, all the temptations and snares that Satan throws at us, that we've got that comfort of knowing that Christ is going to come again and he's going to deliver us up. That is comforting. That is the great reward that we're all waiting for. And here he goes on to say, "And that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go," he says, "you know, and the way you know." Well, this puzzled a few of them, especially Thomas here. Thomas spoke out and he said, "Well, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way?" he says. Jesus replied to him and he says, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life." And he says, "No man comes unto the Father except through me." See, Jesus has given us the direction. He's given us the way. This is our roadmap to heaven. All we have to do is read it, follow it, and in so doing, following the direction that Jesus has given. Do we know the way? Yes, we know the way. Through Jesus our Lord. He has given us that way. We turn over to John chapter 15. And he uses the similarity there to that of a vine and a tree. Notice what he says. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Lord," he says, "is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit," he says, "he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." But notice here in verse 4, he says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine." We cannot survive without Christ. That's what he's simply saying here. That without Christ our Lord being our guide, being that true vine, we alone, as a branch laying on a ground, will not survive. We will die. And he says, "Unless you abide in me." He says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. And he who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit. For without me," notice there, he says, "you can do nothing." Without Christ, we are hopeless. We are in shambles without our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. one can follow Jesus. But notice there, it is only successful as long as we follow His instructions. We find in Matthew chapter 28, in that particular passage there, we find that Jesus simply tells His disciples here. It is referred to as the Great Commission. And what we find there is we find Jesus instructing His disciples. And turn your Bibles back over there and notice what He says there in particular. Now in the New King James Version, I kind of like the way that He uses this here. In verse 19 He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." The commission given, the responsibility of His apostles here was to go out and to make disciples of all nations. How were they to do that? By teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. By giving them the instructions that Jesus gave. And in so doing, they would believe it, they would obey it, as it says there, and then they were to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But notice here one key thought that is given in verse 20. He says there, "Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you." Baptism is not the end of our responsibility. Baptism is only the beginning. From the point of baptism, it is a learning process till the day we die. Learning more and more of God's will and learning more and more of what God wants me to do as a child of God. As it says here, we need to learn how to observe not just some of the things, but all of the things that Jesus has commanded. And then the comforting thought of Jesus saying, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Jesus is going to be with each and every one of us every step of the way. But we've got to be willing to follow Him. If we're not willing to follow Him, if we're not willing to take on the responsibilities that is given by His instructions, if I'm not willing to deny myself and take up what I'm supposed to be doing for Christ, I cannot truly be a disciple of Christ. Being a disciple of Christ is not just in name. It is in life. I am to give Him, as I said earlier, all of my soul, my body, my will, everything. I've got to give everything to Christ. Full submission unto His will. Once again, we are offered the invitation. It's a wonderful thing to see someone that is willing to cleanse themselves of the sins that they have in their lives, as a sister did earlier. Recognizing, and it takes great strength to recognize the sin that is in our lives. It takes greater strength to acknowledge it to others. And in that acknowledgement, it is a desire for assistance. We need one another. We can lean upon one another and become stronger and more faithful unto God. So if there's any of those here today, anyone that needs to obey the gospel in whatever way, or whatever we can do to assist you, recognizing that our Lord and Savior Jesus, that His will was that all men might be saved, and recognizing that His will was to come to this earth to suffer and die upon that cross, to shed His blood. And through that blood, we are saved from our sins through obedience to His will. Are you willing to obey the gospel today? Are you willing to take the name Christian to become a true disciple of Christ? And fulfill the responsibilities with the greatest reward that could ever be given unto us, the reward of heaven. It awaits us all. Whatever we can do to assist you, make your way forward while together we stand and sing the invitation song. Let us sing.